Tonight, fiercely defending her father, Ivanka Trump making her world stage debut to empower women, facing boos from the audience. What triggered the drama? She speaks exclusively to NBC News. Up against the wall, President Trump appears to back down in a fight with Democrats. Also, new fallout for the White House as a key Republican says Michael Flynn may have broken the law. How it happened, new video of the moments before that United passenger was violently dragged off a plane. Emergency sticker shock. Patients getting hit with sky-high bills because of confusion when seeking urgent care. Tonight, the one word to look for that could save you money. And Hollywood drama, a Tinseltown showdown that could affect some of your favorite TV shows. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. First daughter and presidential advisor Ivanka Trump felt the singe of the spotlight in her first official trip abroad today. Less than a month after officially joining her father's administration, Ms. Trump appeared in Berlin, where she shared the stage with some of the most powerful women in the world and faced some uncomfortable questions about her dad's attitudes toward women, along with some scattered jeers. And tonight she's talking exclusively to NBC News. Chief White House correspondent Hallie Jackson has details.
Ivanka Trump in Berlin to help empower women finds herself instead defending one man.
He's been a tremendous champion of supporting families.
A handful of hecklers hissing and booing her description of President Trump.
You hear the reaction from the audience, so I need to address one more point. Some attitudes towards women your father has publicly displayed in former times might leave one questioning whether he's such an empowerer for women.
I've certainly heard the criticism from the media, and that's been perpetuated. As a daughter, I can speak on a very personal level, knowing that he encouraged me and enabled me to thrive.
The moment partly overshadowing Trump's trip to a summit on how to boost female entrepreneurs, sharing the stage with global power players like the head of the IMF and German Chancellor Angela Merkel. President Trump remains deeply unpopular here. His controversial travel ban at odds with Germany's embrace of Syrian refugees. Ivanka Trump today going further than her father on whether those refugees should be let into the U.S.
That has to be part of the discussion, but that's not going to be enough in and of itself. My father's focused on the top level issue, how to counter terrorism, how to stop the issue that continues to happen rather than deal with purely the aftermath.
For her, an intense international spotlight, with one paper asking whether she'll push the president to be more moderate or act as a loyal accomplice.
You know, I don't like the word accomplice because, you know, in this context, I don't know that that's productive. But he curates ideas and he likes to hear from people with divergent viewpoints.
Trump's promoting policies like paid leave and expanded child care, not just women's issues, she says, but economic ones. Today, on the world stage...
Who's considering herself a feminist on the panel?
Feminist, first daughter, and fierce defender of President Trump. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Berlin.
And you can see more of Hallie's exclusive interview with Ivanka Trump tomorrow on Today. Tonight, facing the prospect of a government shutdown in just days from now, President Trump appears to be relenting for now in a fight with Democrats over funding to pay for his border wall. The president is also preparing for the big rollout of his tax reform plan, and NBC's Peter Alexander has all the details.
The wall's going to get built, folks. Just in case anybody has any question, the wall's going to get built.
Tonight, President Trump digging in, vowing his highly controversial border wall with Mexico will be built by the end of his first term.
In your first term?
Well, it's certainly going to, yeah, sure.
In your first term?
We have plenty of time.
The president insisting his position hasn't changed, but he is backing away from his demand that $1 billion down payment to build that wall be included in an emergency spending bill that must be passed this week to avoid a government shutdown. Tonight, the Republicans' new spending plan doesn't include money for wall construction, making the odds of a shutdown that much lower.
The fact that the wall is now off the table, Americans should breathe a huge sigh of relief.
The Nasdaq above 6,000 for the first time in history.
With Wall Street booming, the president's preparing to unveil his brand new tax reform plan tomorrow, slashing the corporate tax rate from 35% to 15%.
A rate reduction that high is going to cost
above $2 trillion and without a plan to pay for it, that's going to explode the debt.
How to pay for that tax cut is still a major sticking point. House Speaker Paul Ryan's proposal for a new border adjustment tax on imports, getting poor reviews here at the White House. Also being floated, removing the popular tax break for contributions to 401k retirement plans. Republican leaders in both the House and Senate not ruling it out, arguing their goal is to increase the number of Americans saving. But tonight, skeptics caution major changes to 401k plans could discourage savings and put Americans' future retirement security in danger. Peter Alexander, NBC News, the White House.
There's late word of another legal setback for President Trump's immigration agenda. A federal judge in San Francisco has blocked one of the president's executive orders that would withhold funds from so-called sanctuary cities, cities which limit their cooperation with federal immigration authorities. The judge's order will remain in place while a lawsuit over that executive order works its way through the courts. Also tonight, Russia and its connections to the president's former national security advisor moved back on the front burner in Washington. A House committee revealing General Michael Flynn failed to disclose payments from Russia, potentially breaking the law. Now, questions over whether the White House can shed any light on those dealings. NBC News White House correspondent Kristen Welker has details.
Closing in on the 100-day mark, tonight the Trump administration forced to revisit a controversy from day 23. That's when General Michael Flynn was fired as national security advisor. Now the White House under fire for not turning over to Congress information about Flynn's business ties to Russia.
The White House has refused to provide this committee with a single piece of paper in response to our bipartisan requests.
The committee says Flynn may have broken federal law by not asking permission or disclosing that in 2015 he was paid nearly $34,000 to attend this dinner for a pro-Putin Russian television station, nor did Flynn disclose his firm was paid more than $500,000 to lobby for the Turkish government. NBC's Casey Hunt speaking to the Republican chair of the Oversight Committee.
Do you think Michael Flynn broke the law?
It doesn't appear as if he complied with the law.
Tonight, the White House saying most of the requested documents were handled under the Obama administration.
To ask the White House to produce documents that were not in the possession of the White House is ridiculous.
Michael Flynn was fired in February for lying to the vice president about a conversation with the Russian ambassador. These new revelations come as Flynn is already a focus of two separate congressional investigations and an FBI probe into possible ties between the Trump campaign and Russia.
The fact that Mike Flynn did not fill out his disclosure forms, those are red flags. Those indicate he was trying to conceal something about these Russian payments.
Just last month, Flynn requested immunity through his lawyer to testify before Congress, the president supporting the move, calling the investigations a witch hunt.
This is not only a nagging story, it's a potentially explosive one that could really distract the White House.
The attorney for Michael Flynn telling NBC News tonight that Flynn did brief the Defense Intelligence Agency about the speaking event in Russia, both before and after it happened, and he answered all of their questions. Lester.
Kristen Welker, thank you. We have an update tonight on the health of former President George H.W. Bush, hospitalized in Houston. Though he has recovered from pneumonia, his spokesman says the 92-year-old continues to deal with the effects of chronic bronchitis. He is expected to be discharged by the end of the week, when he will then be monitored at home. There's new video and new information tonight about that violent episode caught on camera when a passenger was dragged from a United Airlines plane to make room for airline employees. Among the documents released, the security officer's reports of what happened, offering a stark contrast to what was caught on video. Here's NBC's Tom Costello with more.
The surveillance camera appears to capture a routine boarding for Flight 3411. We see Dr. David Dow wearing a baseball hat walking on board. A short time later,
two passengers are refusing to get off the aircraft.
United Airlines called airport security.
Any information? Were they drinking? Were they doing anything like that?
No, it's something with an oversoul, an involunteer, or something like that.
Oh, you guys overbooked the flight? This was a departing flight?
Yeah.
Minutes later, Dow allegedly suffered serious injuries as he was dragged from his seat. Dr. Dow's wife is seen frantically running off the plane, then back on again.
Just kill me.
Soon after, an ambulance arrives. In an incident report, the security officer who grabbed Dr. Dow, James Long, reported that Dow had refused to leave and folded his arms tightly. When he grabbed Dow, Long reported Dow began flailing and fighting. Long says Dow then fell and injured his mouth on the armrest. Dr. Dow's attorney calls that utter nonsense.
No, I'm not going. I am not going.
Video shows Dr. Dow refusing to leave his seat before being grabbed, but not being violent. Four security officers have now been suspended. The United incident and another involving American Airlines bringing scrutiny to the entire industry. Now, with the major airlines announcing policy changes, several members of Congress are calling for federal investigations, even a new passenger bill of rights. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Tonight, Hollywood may be on the verge of a writer's strike as some 13,000 members of the Writers Guild of America brace for a shutdown that could cripple television and film production. The union has not been able to agree on a new contract. Here's NBC's Miguel Almaguer.
Some of the most popular shows on television could be forced to shut down production. Members of the Writers Guild of America voting to authorize a strike that could come as early as next week.
We could see an immediate dramatic impact on television. You'll see lots of shows go into reruns right away, and in the long term, you could see delays and shorter episode orders.
With billions of dollars and tens of thousands of jobs at stake, a new contract with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, the industry's trade group, hit an impasse over pay and health benefits. NBC Universal is a member of that group.
Contract!
A decade ago, writers walked off the job for 100 days, losing nearly $300 million in compensation as Los Angeles County took a $2.5 billion hit. With most summer movies shot, the strike would largely cripple new television production. The industry already confronting the rise of streaming services, while writers say shorter seasons have led to less pay.
This writer strike is so much bigger than just the writers, from catering to all sorts of camera equipment, all of them would be impacted.
With both sides working to reach a last-minute deal, tonight real-life drama behind the scenes in an industry still hoping for a Hollywood ending. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Still ahead, there's the growing trend in emergency medical treatment, but many patients are confusing them for urgent care centers, only to get hit later with sky-high surprise bills. We're back now with a new kind of health care facility popping up around the country. They're called freestanding emergency rooms, where people who need medical attention right away are treated. But some patients are confusing them with urgent care centers, and that can lead to a big surprise when the bill arrives. NBC's Stephanie Gosk has details.
Ginger Pine knew her daughter needed to see a doctor.
She was coughing a lot and she was running a fever.
She thought she was taking her to an urgent care center until she got the jaw-dropping bill.
This was coming up to almost $1,700.
Nearly $1,700 because Pine took her daughter to something called a freestanding emergency room.
It was in a strip mall next to a nail shop and a phone repair place. I mean, it doesn't seem like an emergency room.
It's an emergency room not physically attached to a hospital, but still charging close to the same prices. And those prices are generally much higher than urgent care clinics, according to a Colorado report. Just compare the cost for these common medical issues. Bronchitis is nearly 10 times more expensive at an emergency facility than urgent care. And that means patients, even those with insurance, are on the hook for more money. Still, the freestanding emergency room is a new trend in healthcare, spreading to 35 states and really catching on in Texas.
We can provide all life-saving, stabilizing care that you
need. Dr. Carrie DeMore runs three freestanding emergency rooms in the Dallas area, providing, she says, an alternative to overcrowded hospitals.
We get people in immediately.
The center is open 24/7 with a staff trained in emergency medicine.
So this is our lab, CT scan.
And more sophisticated equipment than a typical urgent care.
It's more expensive to order a filet mignon than it is a hamburger. It is two completely different types of care.
Dr. DeMore says patients at her clinic are told the prices are different and are referred to her urgent care center if they don't have an emergency. But a lawsuit filed this year accuses a different company, Adeptus, the largest in the industry, of an unconscionable failure to disclose its fees, claiming its business model is to trick patients. Adeptus would not comment on the lawsuit. In a statement, it says, "We actively work to educate patients, including using highly visible emergency department signs and patient guidance on arrival." Just last week, Adeptus filed for bankruptcy.
It seems to me that patients in this environment can easily be taken advantage of.
Yeah, I think that's possible that they could potentially be taken advantage of. I think for any business, there can be bad actors.
In other words, buyer beware. Look for the word emergency on the sign and ask questions.
If we had gone in and said, is this an emergency room or is this an urgent care facility, is the only way we could have known the difference. Yes, it's labeled emergency center, but to me, and my husband, we're educated people, we don't know that that means that it's considered an emergency room.
There are some important takeaways for patients and parents here, Lester. The first, look for that word emergency. When you get inside the facility, ask questions so you know where you are and understand your insurance plan. Do you have a high deductible and is a freestanding ER covered in the plan? Follow those tips. You can save money and hopefully avoid aggravation.
Really important distinction. Stephanie, thanks very much. We're back in a moment with a disorder in court. The awkward moment today for one justice at the Supreme Court. An awkward moment today at the Supreme Court. The justices in the middle of oral arguments hearing a case when suddenly a cell phone started ringing. That's a big no-no at the court where they're not allowed in the gallery. Cameras are also not allowed. So as you can see from these sketches, that the culprit was Justice Breyer. He apparently forgot he had the phone with him. When we come back, the big idea behind this restaurant that customers are really embracing, Inspiring America, is next. Finally, tonight, great folks serving up great food at a restaurant with a unique mission. It's called Hugs Cafe, and the community has greeted it with open arms. NBC's Rahema Ellis takes us there in our Inspiring America report.
It's the lunch hour rush at Hugs Cafe in McKinney, Texas, and the orders are coming in fast.
Guys, can I get a wedding cake cookie, please?
Here, the food is served with a side of hope.
It's a place of joy. You see these wonderful people accomplishing something that they've never been able to accomplish before.
How are you?
On the verge of retirement, Ruth Thompson had the same dream two nights in a row, opening a restaurant mostly staffed by people with special needs. But there was one problem.
We had never started a business, never run a restaurant.
That didn't stop Ruth. Her dream created jobs for 22 people, including Kaylin Bradley, who has Down syndrome.
How does working here at Hugs make you feel?
Really good.
How good?
Really great.
For many people with special needs, there are few opportunities for rewarding work.
It has given Kaylin a sense of purpose, a sense of self-worth,
and a chance to nurture her love of baking.
One day, I want to open my own bakery. I would like to hire other people with special needs.
On this day, the line stretched out the door. Nicole Brooks often brings her son, Wyatt, who has Down syndrome.
At Hugs, he sees people being valued by their community. And when he gets older, that's what we want for him.
It's an idea this community has embraced, one sandwich at a time.
No one has ever walked out of the doors in a bad mood.
A restaurant that lives up to its name. Rahema Ellis, NBC News, McKinney, Texas.
That's going to do it for us on a Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.